Here's how one headline reads today. Teen gangs unleashed on Boston Beach. That was the headline at the top of the Drudge Report. It links to a dramatic Boston Globe story about events that took place on Carson Beach in South Boston yesterday.
The Globe's account, which is based on statements from the state police, goes like this. On a sunny, hot Memorial Day, gang members used Facebook and Twitter to rally 1,000 teenagers to the beach. Once there, fights between multiple gang members broke out.
State police, who have jurisdiction on the beach, arrived on the scene along with officers from four other agencies. They broke up the fights and cleared the beach, corralling many of the teens into the Red Line JFK UMass T station. Some teens got off the train and resumed the fights elsewhere at Downtown Crossing and Savin Hill.
A mass brawl involving 1,000 youths on a family beach on Memorial Day. It's no surprise the story is getting national attention, but is that what really happened? On Twitter today, we see messages from dozens of young people who claim to have been there. One user simply retweeted the headline with the hashtag exaggeration. Another wrote, "Bro, that's bull. It was no gang fight. I was there."
State police are still investigating exactly what happened, including which gangs were involved and how social media may have played a role. They released a statement today announcing a planned surge in trooper presence in the Carson Beach area. Emmett Folger is executive director of the Dorchester Youth Collaborative. He works there with at-risk youth. And Emmett, welcome to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Hi, good to be here.
Well, we should say at the outset that you weren't there yesterday, but based on the conversations you've been having today with the young people that you work with and who were involved, was this really a case of rival gangs agreeing over Facebook to meet for a brawl?
That's not what I'm hearing, and I'm one of the people who is working on this right now. What I'm hearing is that people have been going to Carson Beach for actually about 5 days, and many of the groups that I know that have been going there, starting, you know, certainly back as far as Friday, are not gangs, and there wasn't a planned fight there.
So it was a planned day at the beach, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been a horrible spring. I know somebody was trying to sell sunglasses at the Sunglass Hut and hasn't sold very many in the last 6 weeks. It's been a beautiful day. You get five kids who have 500 Twitter followers to 1,000, and I know them not gang involved at all, and just say, hey, let's go to the beach. And I know for a fact that I have three people that did that, mm-hmm. to Twitter. And these things go viral very quickly. So there were lots of people at the beach over those 5 days. There were thousands and thousands. I think a couple of, I don't want to say how many were involved in fighting. Of course there was fighting there.
Well, what do we know about that fighting, Emma? To the extent that there was violence, what do we know about how it started? How serious was it?
The first fight was involved with two girls, not gang girls, but just with two girls. And then, of course, that can be free entertainment, you know, for a lot of kids, unfortunately. And rubbernecking adults, you know, we all tend to want to watch excitement, even if it's not good. And there is a problem always if you're going to have that many young people over, you know, course of a few days. Certainly thousands over the course of a few days, you're going to have a couple of hundred that really shouldn't be at the same place at the same time. And those were the gang members. But nobody I'm talking to, my staff and the young people, many who were there, said that this was a planned gang fight. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying that.
Now, Emmett, police, as we know, made a handful of arrests for disorderly conduct. Otherwise, they simply cleared the crowd. Do you think that was an appropriate response?
There's a lot of us working right now to make sure the next time that it's a more coordinated and careful response. You know, you have a lot of jurisdictions there. You've got the state police, you've got the transit, you've got the Boston police, and then you've got us, you know, street workers and community organizers. We need to know. We need to be notified immediately if there's a large gathering of people and know what we're doing when we're going in there and trying to figure out, and you can pretty well, who's just there to enjoy themselves at the beach and who's there to start trouble?
Yeah.
Really entirely different groups of people.
You know, this is a delicate question around a delicate issue, but I want to ask it this way. Do you think the robust police response has anything to do with the fact that many of these young people were African-Americans? And I ask the question because we've been following some Twitter traffic that has raised this question. And the question of, would police have reacted the same way if 1,000 mostly white teens had descended on a beach on a bright, sunny holiday?
That is a delicate question and very hard to answer. I don't think it's racial in nature. what happened, but I do, like I said, but we can coordinate much better. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't know people, then you don't know who's just a bystander and who you really do need to go after. It's all about knowledge, and it doesn't really matter what your skin shade is. You know, it can be a real problem.
Sure. Emmett, do we actually know where these kids were coming from, and does that matter? And by I say where these kids were coming from which neighborhoods?
This is a longstanding issue. This didn't just happen this weekend. There have been some issues here. If you check last year, you know, there was a couple of issues. Look up at Revere Beach, right? Revere Beach had, you know, several thousand people and some incidents up there last year. So, in the same kind of problem, we have multi-jurisdictions at Revere Beach, at Carson Beach, where you have state police, transit, Boston police, and community organizations. Hmm. I believe they've done a good job up at Revere Beach, and I know for the fact I spoke to the mayor today, there's a very serious effort right now to make sure that we do a very coordinated and good job of approaching this, because it's going to happen again. We're going to get a lot of kids there again, and mm-hmm. we're going to be tested, and we're going to have to be there.
Hmm. Well, Emmett, yesterday's incident capped off what was otherwise a pretty bloody holiday weekend on some
of
Boston streets. And just if, in case our listeners aren't up to date, there were four deadly shootings in Dorchester, one in Mattapan, one in the South End. Do you think we're headed toward a particularly violent summer here?
Well, you know, it's always hard to track that. If we would have been talking a week ago, we'd just said, look, all the numbers are great. You know, they're all down. One number I'd like us to keep in mind is not just homicides, because that universe of numbers is pretty low, actually, in Boston, fortunately. But let's keep an eye on fatal and non-fatal shootings, because that number is pretty big, you know, somewhere around 300 or so. Watch that for trends. I haven't checked that, you know, this week. That's a better number to watch.
Hmm. Emmett Folgert, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Emmett Folgert is Executive Director of the Dorchester Youth Collaborative.
Well, tomorrow on the show, Boston is home to more than its share of universities, colleges, hospitals, and other nonprofit organizations. As nonprofits, they do not pay taxes to the city. Now there's a move in Boston to compel them to pay at least a fraction of what they'd owe if they were for-profit, and it is getting lots of national attention. We'll look at payment in lieu of taxes tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. After you, Megna.
I'm so sorry, Anthony. That's what happens when we get an extra day off on a 3-day weekend. Anyway, I am Megna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.